2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
I've seen the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey. It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. Call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, 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 hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We are coming to you from Olson's Greenhouse, and Kenton Phillips is with us as well from Olson's, taking your questions this morning. Wanted to start the hour and talk about it's time to plant, Ton. The sun is out. It's a little cooler today. People are really going to enjoy getting out in their yards, and are they safe to plant whatever they want today?
They are. You know, I was a little worried about winds, but it doesn't look like, at least on the KSL weather page, that winds are going to be a factor this evening, at least so far. You know, you want to keep an eye on things, but yeah, it's a great day to get out and plant.
So annuals, perennials, whatever you want, you're safe to do it?
I think so. You know, this time of year, you always have to keep an eye on the weather because you never know. You know, we're just infamous for that May and June bad weather sometimes that you can't avoid.
The hail so, in the middle of
yeah,
June.
You have to be prepared. But traditionally around Mother's Day is when everything that you haven't planted goes in. So the tomatoes, the petunias, the geraniums, everything that you've got is traditionally the safest time to do it as far as waiting is around Mother's Day, and we're there.
Right. Kenton is a little bit tricky because if you wait a couple of weeks, you're not going to find what you're going to find today. And if anyone was in the greenhouse with us today, they could see how many employees you have really making sure that all of this stuff goes out today and it's in its best condition right now.
Yes, I was actually going to mention that as well, that if you wait much longer, it's going to be Memorial Day. And then everything will, it'll all be bloomed. It's all going to be awesome, but it will go quick. And then by the time you want to get some nice-looking perennials or annuals or vegetables going in your garden, it's going to be a little too late to get the fruit that you want. But, yeah, we have a lot of employees here. We rely a lot on the migrant workers coming from Mexico. We love them dearly. They do a great job. And then in our stores, we also have a lot of merchandisers that are out there taking care of the plants, making sure they're staying watered for you, and then when you get them home, it's all up to you to make sure they look beautiful and talk to them every day, just like we do, and make sure that things are looking good.
Ton, it's really important not to wait till it's too hot, because it doesn't allow the roots to really get established.
They still will, but yeah, it really does. During this cooler weather, you know, those 80 degree temperatures for most of what we plant are perfect, because their photosynthesis is going crazy in a good way during that period of time. They're producing the most energy they can when the temperatures are between about 70 and 85. And so you're going to get maximized root growth and maximized establishment when it's a little cooler. Now, if you plant when it's a little hotter, you're okay, but you're going to need to keep things watered to make sure they don't dry out. But they will slow down a bit because of that hotter weather actually slows down growth.
Right. When it comes to trees, people who need to get out and plant some trees, we've been talking about how it's been safe for quite some time to plant trees, but is it too late to be planting trees?
Oh, no. You can plant all summer long. You know, even these annuals, you can plant all summer long. It's just that it's a little easier right now. The selection's much better, and with the cooler weather, if you go an extra day without watering, you're likely not going to kill those brand new plants like you would in the middle of August.
Right. It's the same thing with sod, grass, whatever you're growing.
It is. So, you know, on those trees, I think that right now is a wonderful time. I've been talking with Cameron Alcott, who is one of the owners of Progressive Plants, and he was telling me, and we need to try to record an interview about this, but there's a shortage of woody plant material, so trees and shrubs, and right now is going to be the time to get those. And Andy Stevens referred to it a little bit last week, because if you're looking for particular things, it could be they're not available this year.
Right. Best time to buy them, right?
Absolutely.
Out in the yard. My other question was about, people always ask us about pre-emergent. Is it too late to put that on my lawn?
Not necessarily. You know, if you've had a lot of crabgrass problems, then get it down. But I would recommend using, if you're going after crabgrass or foxtail, using a product called Dimension. It has what's called post-emergent activity for those particular grasses. And so if they're just coming up and they're just a few inches tall, then Dimension will knock them out to where other pre-emergents wouldn't. But I've also noticed that Black Medic is already up and going, and I've seen Spurge germinating in areas that are a little warmer. And so we're right on the cusp of it. If you're trying to control those sorts of things, being a little late. You know, my other, you know, on pre-emergent, it's a great tool, but you want to get to the point that you don't have to use it every year. Because if you're having to use a pre-emergent, there's signs that the lawn management is off somewhere.
That's the problem. You have to make sure that you're maintaining your lawn properly. You don't need to use all those chemicals.
You don't. And a well-maintained lawn will, you know, require a little less fertilizer, far fewer chemicals such as the pre-emergents and herbicides, fungicides, and insecticides, because a well-managed lawn is just so much more capable of overcoming those things that might go after it. So if you have a few insects in there, it'll just grow back faster. Some fungal diseases, because it has the correct relationships formed with soil microorganisms, a lot of times those diseases are outcompeted. But if your lawn is unhealthy, and this not only is under management, but over management, too much fertilizer, too much water, mowing too short, then the lawn's much more susceptible and you're applying a lot more chemicals trying to keep it green.
It's Mother's Day. That's why we are out at Olson's Greenhouse to tell you about all the wonderful things you're going to find from Mom and Home Depot, Walmart, and Costco. Because, Kenton, those are the places you provide plants for. And tell people about some of the specialty items from Mom's.
So one that we have, a really good specialty item this year. We actually designed this ourselves this last year. We came up with this Love That Grows planter. It also, I believe, we patented it so that we actually have that ourselves. Nobody can use that from us at this given point. It's called Love That Grows, and it has a heart in every bloom. It's a good-looking pink and white petunia with some calibricos and some verbena in it that trail out. It's good-looking. You can find that at Home Depot. Take it home. Write a little love note to your mom or to your wife or whoever you may be giving that to, and let her know how much you love her this weekend, not just this weekend, but all throughout the year. And then if you need to have an extra little favor in there, you can write that on there as well, of sending more money or making a special pie or whatever that may be. But yeah, that's a great little planter to take home to your mom. Even Tons mentioned that even at 8 o'clock tonight, I may need to be running to the store to get something.
Well,
sorry, Ton, threw you out there.
No, but I have been in that boat too many times. I hope my bride's not listening right now. But, you know, it's 8 o'clock at night and you go to the Walmart and the parking lot is like it's the day before Christmas. The aisles with the Mother's Day's items are cleared, you know, there's nothing, and you're desperately looking for something. But one thing I would suggest is hitting the garden center areas, because these planters, whether it's the Love That Grows planters, something like these Coral Bell, the Heuchera, you know, whatever it is, I think that the garden center is such an underutilized place to get things that your bride or your mom or even those important women in your life will enjoy.
Well, and the nice thing about it, too, is if they plant it, put it in their yard, they're always thinking that you gave that to them. It's always a great reminder.
Beautiful reminder.
And again, that Love That Grows planter is at Home Depot.
And again, you can see that on the KSL News Radio app if you're watching the show right now on your phone. We're going to take a break, come back with your calls and questions. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you this morning. Coming to you from Olson's Greenhouse, Brian Lloyd has just joined us. He just flew in from Colorado, and you're here bright and early with us this morning.
Yes,
Brian.
Good morning. It's such a beautiful morning. It's a little cool, but I'm still happy to be here.
It's not a little cool. It's perfect for planting.
That's what I mean. It's perfect.
Right. Okay. I just took that a little differently. Let's get right back to our callers this morning. We have Drew standing by in Clinton. Good morning, Drew. How can we help you this morning?
Hi. I've got a kind of a narrow park strip. It's only about 20 inches wide, and it's right on a main street. So I'm looking for something that grows low that I can still see over while I back out of my driveway. I was thinking like a lavender hedge. Is there something better I should be looking at that'll take the heat better from the road and from the sidewalk?
Lavender would be quite durable as far as that goes. It's drought hardy. It has that midsummer blossom on it. Lasts anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks, depending on the particular variety. My concerns would be is you don't want to hedge it back too hard because that is very detrimental. It can kill it. And so you need to find a variety that gets the height you want. There are, even shrub-wise, most everything is probably going to not get too big, but maybe too wide. It might crowd the sidewalk a bit. You could mix it up and do a mix of lavenders and maybe, something along the lines of hummingbird mint. Those have gorgeous flowers later in the summer. You could maybe even put some black-eyed Susans or some purple cone flowers in there. There's so many things you can do. Brian, do you have any suggestions on perennials that you could put?
And catmint is a good one, a good strong one.
Yeah, that one would be great, too.
But any type of drought-tolerant perennial would be good. Most of them will be low-growing enough to where you can still see over them. And I would go look for anything that's got the drought tolerant characteristic on the tag, and you'll probably find some good options and colors that you like.
Conservation Garden Park has a wonderful website on drought hardy perennials, and you could look at that. And if you wanted to mix it up, maybe find a variety that would, something's blooming in mid to late spring into summer into fall. Some of the upright sedums might be another one that you could go with. But Conservation Garden Park has a great website on selection of perennials.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. I'll have to re-listen to the podcast so I can write all this down.
All right. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Josh is asking, Ton, he purchased a Bing cherry tree last night. He's wondering if he needs another tree in order for it to produce fruit.
If neighbors have cherry trees, no, probably not. If he's isolated, they're trying to homestead or on 10 acres or something, then I would probably get a Stella or a Benton. Maybe, there's several they could do, but two different cherry trees so that they can get the fruit. But if they're in an established neighborhood, most likely neighbors are going to have cherries and they'll be okay.
All right. Next listener says, last year something chewed on their lilac shrub, making it the leaves scalloped. What can they do to remedy that this year?
It's root weevil, and they can try maybe a systemic after the lilacs are done blooming, or if they want to keep things a little more organic, something like Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. They'd spray that weekly for 5 or 6 weeks on all the foliage so that they can kill the adults so they don't lay more eggs.
Our next listener says the windstorm last fall snapped a major branch off of their maple tree. The trunk now has splintered wood. Should they try to clean that up? And if so, how? The splintered wood is up to a foot long.
Yes, I would download some fact sheets on pruning. And there's going to be a collar around where the branch grew out of the tree. And they don't want to cut that collar off because that collar is what will recover and close in and seal off the wound. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would cut off that jagged wood.
What is the best way to get rid of clover in grass?
Well, I'm going to hedge here a little bit, and unless somebody is allergic to bees, leave it alone. You know, especially if it's just the Dutch white clover, the white flowering clover that everybody mm-hmm. has, you can walk on it. It acts like lawn, and it's providing food pretty much for pollinators, not only honeybees. But if you have somebody maybe allergic to bees, then something containing triclopyr, so T-Zone or Terflon ester would be a couple they could look at, Forcefeed XT. But be cognizant of that clover not hurting anything. You know, those days of us having the pristine lawn with no weeds that looks like the golf course are numbered just because of our population and our drought. And to, you know, want that, it's fine and you can do it. But the other thing to be aware of with this is that if you have tons of clover in your lawn, it was either seeded or there's a lack of nitrogen. And so once you get that under control, fertilizing a couple of times a year will help the grass outcompete the clover.
Are you telling us to lower our standards?
Well, I'm not trying to do the SNL lowered expectations dating game. That might have been Fox, but yes, I am. You know, and, you know, reduce turf. You know, I've heard one of the local gardening groups talking about how their members are trying to reduce the amount of turf by 10% in their yards. Mm-hmm. And that would include the park strips, maybe some other areas where they can put flower beds in. And if you can adjust your sprinkling system and just cut out 10% of turf, that's thousands of gallons of water per month that we're saving.
Huge.
And your yard's still going to look beautiful and the same, but just those days of having turf be your primary landscape tool is just, it's still always going to be a part of our yards, but those days are just numbered, whether you like it or not, just because, you know, in 40 or 50 years, if our population is 6 million and the federal government's not letting us build more reservoirs, what do you expect, you know?
Right. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news coming to you live this morning from Olson's Greenhouse. We'll be back with more of your calls and questions.
Let's dig around town with KSL Greenhouse.
Dig Around Town is brought to you by Utah State University Extension. Check out monthly gardening tips and online gardening courses at garden.usu.edu. There's nothing like homegrown corn on the cob and red ripe tomatoes fresh from the garden. Learn the best practices for growing vigorous vegetables with USU Extension. Check out the online course at garden.usu.edu. Get in early on the movement of park strip redesign. Make the most of your park strip with Weber Basin Water on May 12th. Find out more at weberbasin.com. Learn the best trees and shrubs for local scaping with the experts at Conservation Garden Park on Thursday, May 13th. Sign up at conservationgardenpark.org. And the spring plant sale is underway at Red Butte Gardens. Find an impressive selection of herbs, specialty annuals, and both sun and shade perennials. It's open to the public May 10th through the 12th. Now a look at this week's quick tip.
If you haven't already purchased your warm season flower and vegetable starts, now is a great time to do it because retailers have a great selection. Plant them when nighttime temperatures are around 50 degrees. And even though danger of frost is mostly past, keep an eye on the weather in case they need to be covered up.
You can also find the Dig Around Town calendar and more fun gardening info at kslnewsradio.com/greenhouse.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.